Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful fall-like New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. Dr. Troy could not join us today because they have an emergency meeting in preparation for Hurricane Irma, which has now set its sights on the entire southeast portion of the United States, including Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains, as Dr. Troy will remind you, the sun still shines. Even in the midst of a Category 3 or 4 hurricane, when it gets to Charleston, if it gets to Charleston, the sun will continue to shine. The name of the show, The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? New ground certainly left me wanting more because I'm doing another show on the show last week because it was so good. But the show is brought to you by XDI, xraydeltaindia.com. Yeah, I have to send out statements. And even if you get your statements electronically, even if your statements come in the mail and you see that somehow you ended up on the lease of a timeshare in St. Kitts somewhere and you don't recall ever applying for that loan, well, you might want to check with our friends at Equifax, but you do have to send out statements, the most beautiful, elegant, efficient statements, and one that tell your audience about the other great products and services your financial institution offers. No one does it better than XDI.com, Express Data Incorporated. And you heard it, another massive credit breach, another massive hack. And so if you're wondering again why someone just purchased a Mai Tai under your name somewhere off the coast of New Zealand using a credit card that you didn't apply for, once again, you may want to check with Equifax on that one. So the name of the show today, the episode today, is Brand Beacon, Brand Reverberation. Even I'm guilty of having my name associated with a article in the CU Times. I think this goes back to 2009, writing about the branches back. You know, again, you know, despite the, you know, 10 years of solid internet, you know, banking habits by Americans, people were still going to the branch. And in reality, I was wrong. The branch is not back. It never went anywhere. Never went anywhere. And, you know, but why you build your next space is actually more important than how it's built. And last week's show was revolutionary in a lot of ways. It is maybe the only show. I always listen back to the show. I listen back, you know, everything we talk about, power performance, you practice, you perform, you review, and then you repeat. We do it here at the show. So we practice, we perform, and then I review the show. I have to listen back. And sometimes it's to check on audio. Sometimes it's to make sure there's no popping on the mic. Sometimes it's just to make sure everything went okay. And of course, like anybody else in the performance arts, the only things that stick out to me generally are the mistakes, when mistakes are made, mistakes in the way I pronounce things or I say things or I speak too quickly, whatever the case may be, I always listen back. I don't think I've ever listened back to any single episode as many times as I listened back to last week's show. I've taken the unprecedented step of including that link to last week's show in the episode description of this week's show, which again, episode is called Brand Beacon, Brand Reverberation, because last week was just chock full of great information, just great, great stuff. New ground, a very unique way of looking at these these branches that people are still going to be building well into the future, not really so much about, okay, what's the lot and block description? Let's put a little, you know, basic branch here on the corner. They don't start that way. They start with, why are we building it? What's your culture all about? And it was a fascinating discussion to have. So after the break, I've got a few clips from the show last week in case you missed it. Want to absolutely thank again. Last week, I want to thank Melissa Myrick. She set everything up, and Kevin Dully and Brad Rittner, who, by the way, someone just purchased a, let's see, yes, someone just purchased a Heineken Light using Kevin's credit card somewhere in Belgium, where it's almost happy hour. And looks like Melissa, oh, you just bought a flat screen TV at Sam's right down the road here in San Antonio, Texas. And Brad, look at that. Your credit card information was used to book a river cruise on the Danube sometime later this year. So make sure you check that. Make sure you check that credit report. Make sure you check that mobile statement or that mobile banking app of yours and find out what you're paying for this afternoon and this morning, wherever you may be listening. Once again, thanks to our good buddies at Equifax. Hey, we'll be right back after this.
Well, you know, when the first day I started, they put me actually on the teller machine, which was called a TC750. It was the only technology we had, and it was a machine that you had to press 17 buttons to process even a deposit to savings. And if you messed up one of those 17 buttons, it shook, then ding, popped open and rejected you in front of everyone. So it was glorious.
We have a similar machine for Jason, but he doesn't have to touch 17 numbers for somebody to be rejected.
So,
yeah, boy.
Much faster today.
That is Sue Massa from Flag Credit Union out in Tallahassee, Florida. I don't know if the hurricane, it looks like it's going to cover the whole state of Florida if it turns that way, but we are certainly thinking about all of our good friends out in Florida and Tallahassee at Flag Credit Union. My dear, dear, dear friends out at GTE Financial in Tampa, we hope everything is going to be okay for all of you, but you heard Sue talking about it. You know, she was telling the story about when she first started working at a credit union branch, which in her case was back in the late 70s. And just think about, you know, how different, how dramatically different. And, you know, again, you know, Kevin asked me, we had a wrap up call yesterday. Well, you know, what do you do during the break? And usually I take a sip of water or something. But in this case, I was checking my credit report. And I too have purchased some beautiful HD 4G smart TVs for some Moldovan orphans, apparently, in the country of Moldova. So, yep, everything is going great, thanks to our buddies at Equifax. All right. Hey, listen, knowing the bank's culture is one key aspect that the experience economy leverages. That's actually what we were supposed to talk about last week, the experience economy, and we just scratched the surface. So if you go to newground.com where it says perspective, there's a great blog post on the experience economy, and it talks about how it leverages when it comes to staging the right environment. And I love that word, staging. That I believe that word was used deliberately. One of my favorite quote keepers last week was when Kevin said, life is theater. And as I said last week, if you think about what you do at your financial brand, at your business of any kind, as putting on a live performance where the success of the business is based upon leaving the audience wanting more, it will change who you hire. And it will change the venue in which you do business. And that's what Newground was talking about last week. It's about, you know, realizing when I do inevitably get, and I'm being serious now, when I do inevitably check my mobile banking app and see the unfamiliar charge somewhere in, you know, Sierra Leone, Mexico or somewhere, Nuevo León, Mexico, not Sierra Leone, Nuevo León. See, I would have heard that when I listened back to the show. I'm going to call the bank. There's a process that we're all familiar with. They will return the money immediately, and then they will tell me, so sorry, but that chip card that we sent you, that second chip card that we sent you that is used to pay for everything that matters to you, you have to come in to the branch and we will instant issue you a new one. And so I expect there is a trip to the branch here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, in my future. And so that is why, okay, the branch didn't go anywhere. The branch has always been here. And we, you know, we talked about that with Brad and Kevin last week.
Jason, well, you know, it's interesting. You kind of have to really have a clear focus of who you're serving, not just today, but tomorrow. And when you look at some of these hotels and you look at how, like you were talking about, it was exactly what you needed it to be because they understood you as a type of customer in the market. And so it really begins having a clear strategy about who you want to serve today and who you want to serve tomorrow.
We firmly believe that the branch is still relevant. It's just it's probably in a process of evolving right now. We're working hand in hand with a lot of our clients through a process we call ideation, and that is kind of our fancy word for a brainstorming workshop. And we work with them in kind of discovering and figuring out what is that next generation branch journey need to be.
That next generation branch journey, that was actually Kevin first and Brad second. And that was one of the things that really caught my attention. It was A, that they were speaking in terms of the theater of all of this, the staging. You know, I went to all those events with Scott McKenna and Knight Van Wyk, and we put on that live musical performance. When we first did our first event together, I was fascinated by how meticulous they were about the way they set things up. And we were always like that, the three of us. We always wanted things to look beautifully. I didn't get a chance to talk about it last week on the show, but one of my favorite events that I ever did, it wasn't the biggest event. It was at a bank branch up in Bastrop, Texas. And there was really nothing super modern about this branch, but they had this beautiful mural about the history of Bastrop, Texas above the teller line. And it was that, you know, classic 20th century sort of bank with the marble teller counter and the beautiful mural. And we performed for that whole employee group there. And there was a balcony and it was beautiful. It was actually a very beautiful theater. And I thought, you know, for the town of Bastrop, that format probably still makes sense. There are probably still a lot of people in Bastrop that enjoy going into that branch and seeing that beautiful mural. But if they were going to build a new branch, perhaps in Kyle, which does not have the same history in Texas as a town like Bastrop as a settled place. Kyle was just a stop on your way out of Austin if you forgot to get gas. And now it's its own thriving little micropolitan city with, you know, 14 Payless shoe stores and a Subway and a Chick-fil-A and everything else. I think they would certainly opt for a more modern design. And so Newground wouldn't say, well, it should be just like all the other credit unions in your area or model it after the new Domino's Pizza. They would start with ideation. They would start with what's the motivation and purpose of the engagement. That's what's critical for the designers, the ability to create unique spaces that enhance the company's brand promise and purpose. That's just, I mean, that's radio gold. And that's me reading from the perspective part of the Newground website. Go check out that article, The Experience Economy. And so we had a great discussion about that last week. We also talked about, you know, it's how they get started. It's how they imagine what that branch, let's say they are going to open a branch in Bastrop National Bank. Hey, we're going to branch out to Kyle. We're going to imagine, possibly reimagine how we did that. And we asked Kevin and Brad about that.
We talked about the building as a billboard was an idea that bubbled to the top. Lots of glass, a building that could light up, you know, 24/7 and really be a brand beacon. I think we're seeing a lot of new technology being injected into the branch experience where there's an expectation of after-hours access, and now all of a sudden, you know, your branch needs to be functional outside of even hours of, you know, 8 to 5.
Well, first of all, I have to think, you know, let's just work on the idea of imagine. That's a powerful word for us because what we're asking, what we try to help our clients do is actually envision what they want before we ever initiate even the idea of a concept design. I mean, Brad's really good at creating these concepts, but we've got to dig that out of our clients. And so through our ideation program, some of the things we look at is how are they actually want to serve the market? Instead of like saying, hey, you know, we like that branch across the street, or we want to be just like Starbucks, we want to use Starbucks' design, that may not work for them. So one of the programs is designed to really dig into who are they and what is their purpose.
Love that. What is their purpose? It's like that, you know, creative, mental Komatsu tractor backhoe, digging out those ideas, finding out what is the promise, what is the purpose. Everybody in Bastrop knows where the First Bank of Bastrop is, and it's in a part of downtown that is not frequently visited late at night. But in Kyle, when you're coming home from the volleyball tournament or the club baseball tournament, and you're looking for that brand promise, you're looking for that brand beacon. And you heard Brad talk about it beautifully. He said last week, like a pagoda, this beautifully lit up branch that tells everybody, hey, here's a safe place and a trustworthy place. You can come and get some cash and continue on your way, whatever the case may be. Maybe you're going to, you know, take that $2 hit and use a foreign ATM, and you're looking at this beautiful building and thinking, you know what, next time I'm in the marketplace for a new branching and banking relationship, I'm not going to forget this, because that brand beacon has suddenly created brand reverberation. Now we're getting into the stuff that I like to talk about, the musical aspect of this. When I went out to the XDI Chili Challenge, I experienced this brand reverberation, and I'll tell you about that, and we'll wrap it up, and we'll do it all right after this.
Is why webinars send us hate mail. The power of performance.
Slight feet of street, bend your back, shift your arm, then you pull it back. Let's target no way. Strike a pose on a Cadillac. If you want to find all the cops are hanging out in the donut shop, they sing and dance.
Look at that. Once again, check my credit report there during the break, and just by coincidence, someone purchased the Run DMC Bengals boxed CD edition, great hits of the 1980s and 90s, using a credit card I didn't even realize I had applied for. But hey, that's the world we live in. And like I said, when I inevitably have to go down to the circle, make a left, and find my way to the Frost Bank branch here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, I'm going to the branch. Now, brand reverberation, brand beacon creates brand reverberation. When I was out in San Diego in August for the XDI Chili Challenge, it is not my habit to rent a car. I would prefer just to Uber everywhere. And so I noticed when I was pulling into the hotel that there was an IHOP that was right within walking distance of the hotel. And I remembered when I was coming home from Minnesota last year, driving back from Mystic Lake Casino up in Prior Lake, Minnesota, we stopped in Edmond, Oklahoma, and there was this beautifully, brand beacon, beautifully lit up IHOP. It was in a very nice part of town with restaurants everywhere, but there was just something inviting about that. It was glassy and brightly lit. It didn't really, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the old International House of Pancakes with the big, you know, teepee-looking roof and stuff like that, and kind of run down. This one was different. It was beautiful. It was bright. It was shiny. And so we went in there, and I got to tell you, they kept their brand promise. The food came quickly. It was hot. It wasn't expensive. They put the coffee there, so you didn't have to keep looking for the waitress or the waiter to bring you more coffee. They had all the little different syrups, the boysenberry and whatnot. And that stayed with me. The reverberation. So the brand beacon of IHOP that I saw as I was driving into or being driven into the hotel that Friday afternoon when I got to San Diego, it was the brand reverberation that compelled me to get out of bed, skip the, you know, $20 buffet that they offer at the hotel, and instead walk across the road and go to IHOP. That brand beacon created brand reverberation, and I got another $9 of my money plus tip. And the next time I have the option between, you know, IHOP and Denny's, the reverberation is going to be in favor of IHOP. And that's what they were talking about last week on the show. Is it helping you fulfill your company's brand promise and purpose when you're designing those new spaces? Be talking to these folks quite a bit, because again, this is something that fascinates me from a banking perspective, from a generational perspective, from a functional perspective. You know, again, I'll be 50 years old later this year. I'm old enough to remember that when I was in high school, if you didn't have cash on Friday night, there was really no way to get it. Unless you had an ATM card, which was unique for high school students in those days. You had to plan ahead for that kind of stuff. And yet, all those branches are still there. They've been reimagined. They've been repurposed. And now they're serving a very different type of banking clientele. But I love that word. The way they're staged now is different. They're staged a certain way so that when you walk in, you know, you feel something. You know that you're dealing with a modern brand. I remember being out in Florida. Gosh, this goes back maybe 7 or 8 years ago. It was 2010, so 7 years ago. And it was one of those old 1970s era branches with the massive waiting areas and the massive teleline. It had this massive 50-foot teleline, and there were two people working at the end. And I remember I wandered back because we were doing training session in a little back room where they probably used to have the loan committee meet. And I sat down and I picked up a magazine off the table. And of course, it left that rectangle in the dust. And I looked at the magazine. It was like from 2000 in Popular Mechanics or something from 2003, you know, 7, 8 years. No one had been back there. And I thought about that last week, too. If the guys from Newground moved in over there and said, hey, how do we reimagine this space? A, they wouldn't need all of it, but they still might be able to find a way to maintain their brand's purpose and their brand's promise. So expect us to keep talking about this on the show, because it is something that absolutely fascinates me. And trust me, Dr. Troy, who has a PhD in global leadership, will also love talking about these kind of things. We didn't even get into the other stuff I want about the headquarters design, how that is becoming still such a important, vitally important part of your brand experience, and you know how you create that experience. Brad called it creating a journey for the member and the employee. You know, I don't want to go, gosh, I remember when back during the dot-com bust, and I left my wiretight dot-com company because it was running out of money, and it was this, you know, beautiful office with all these fancy desks and those, you know, high back chairs, which is probably why we ran out of money in the first place. And my next job, the office was just a cube with the carpeted, you know, dividers and stuff like that. It was just like, ugh, how soon can I get on monster.com and find the next best thing? And so creating that place where people want to come to work as well as people want to come and do business, it is what we're talking about, being a brand beacon, that brand reverberation. It's okay for the brand to reverberate with the employees as much as it reverberates with the audience. That compels the employees to talk about where they work. It compels the employees to fill out the surveys that allow you to be one of the best places to work in your marketplace. And, you know, it's great to have a mobile app. It's great to have internet banking. It's great to have a contact center. But Americans are conditioned to want to know where all the money is at. And I don't think there's any doubt in my mind, that we will be talking about branch design in 2020, 2025, and beyond. What I think is important right now, if we can agree that the branches are going to be relevant, I think we also need to agree that the approach that Newground is using to start the process, why are we building it? What's our promise? What's our purpose? What is this brand beacon going to do? How is it going to reverberate with our audience? That's also a discussion we should be having, and having it a lot with people. So again, I want to thank the team from Newground last week. It really was such a great show. And if you missed it, you were in the minority, because it was crazy, crazy listens to that show. The link is right there in the episode page of this show, which was Brand Beacon, Brand Reverberation. On this show, The Power of Performance, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Once again, much love and prayers and best wishes to our friends out in the southeastern part of the country, Dr. Troy out in Charleston, our good buddies down in Florida. We hope everything is okay. And folks, until next we speak, my name is Jason Dias, and I'll talk to you all next week. Take care. Bye.
The, that's all, folks.